Good morning, everyone. I'm Dan Reed, one of the pastors here at CPC. Today, we conclude our six-week series in Psalms titled Answering God. We've learned that the Psalms provide us with words and with prayers to help us walk through all kinds of circumstances that life brings. A couple of weeks ago, I made a trip to Colorado to help my sisters settle my dad's affairs after his passing. I didn't want to travel, but it was an essential trip. And after going back and forth, I decided to fly to Denver instead of drive. I was really deliberate in my preparations and care. A friend at CPC gave me one of those super duper N95 masks. I wore my glasses, I had wipes, I didn't bring any food along. I carried my bag on with me and I reserved my seat early. And on my flight over and back, we had maybe 30 people on board. So both ways, I had my window seat in my own aisle. And my daughter told me to wear a hoodie to keep even more insulated. And I must have looked like that old FBI picture of the Unabomber as I curled up and cocooned in my aisles, in my window seat. After I arrived in Denver, I wiped down my rental car top to bottom. And when I arrived at my sister's house, she made me strip down in the garage and left me a bed sheet to wear as I entered her home and made a beeline to the shower. The world is so complicated and so heavy right now. And as we went through my mom and dad's house, I was reminded of how my parents saved everything. We found checkbook stubs dating back to the 1960s. But my mom also saved a lot of schoolwork and memories of our childhood. One of my sisters stumbled onto an art project my mom had saved that dated back to my kindergarten days. I brought it to share with you today. It's an art project I did for Father's Day in 1967. So here it is. It shows a small, protected, and narrow world of a kindergartner. Our assignment was to draw a picture and describe what our dads do for us. Kind of like asking the questions, who am I? And why do I matter to you? Here's what I wrote. Notice the artwork. My dad, sometimes he goes to work. He figures out how to build systems. I don't know what they are. You know, even as an adult, I didn't know what they were. He studies some words out of a book. He plays games with me. Sometimes he goes to the drugstore to get some things. That kind of threw me. And he sweeps out the garage. When I read that and hear that from a kindergarten perspective, I had a pretty small, narrow, protected, safe little world with my Hot Wheels and my Lincoln Logs and my tricycle. And I think before COVID-19, we tended to live in a smaller, more protected, narrow, and safer kindergarten world. But our study in Psalms acknowledges that our world is not a kindergarten world. For sure, this COVID virus has shattered our kingdom, kindergarten world. These Psalms are honest expressions about our world. Such as, you know, dark things happen in our world. Many things happen that don't make sense. A world where our Heavenly Father seems to allow things that we don't understand and then not stop things He could stop. A world where it looks like the bad guys are winning. A world where unthinkable things happen. A world different from my kindergarten world. So in this study of Psalms and during this COVID crisis, we have formed words, we've formed answers to help us in this bigger world. We've learned to answer God with trust. We've learned to answer God with thanksgiving and gratitude. We've learned to answer God with words of resolve to persevere, even when we're walking on a difficult path. We've learned to answer God through repentance for our own sins. We've learned to answer God by acting wisely as we apply the wisdom in the Psalms. And today we conclude in a beautiful place. Today we're going to celebrate some stellar attributes of God that bring us hope no matter our circumstances. The Psalms express answers to every person in their post-kindergarten world. Will someone love me in this broken world where all this stuff happens? Is there someone who will restore me Take away my fears. Rescue me from this distress. Calm my anxiety. Meet my very real family and economic needs. What if your Heavenly Father were to ask you, who am I? Why do I matter to you? I hope that through this series in Psalms, you will be able to write your own Heavenly Father's Day card that would contain layer upon layer of answers that are reasons to celebrate who God is and what he has done. Turn with me to Psalm 93, and let's read this psalm in its entirety together. It's only five verses. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago, and you are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord, and the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waves, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Psalm 93. Verse 1 of Psalm 93 says this, the Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Well, this psalmist, and he doesn't identify himself by name. He doesn't bury the lead. He begins suddenly and wonderfully with this proclamation of God's rule. God rules over every other kingdom ruler, over every idol that a person can bow to, over every poser and pretend sovereign. It's decisive. It uses the strongest language in the Hebrew. It demands an exclamation point at the end. He says, the Lord is robed in majesty. In fact, it's repeated for greater emphasis. Literal phrase, utterly clothed in majesty, surrounded by and marked with the kingly clothing. It's beautiful. Kind of like the old saying, the clothing reflects the man. We also see the attribute of strength here. The Lord is no figurehead who lacks authority and power. The Lord isn't wringing his hands and hoping he can fix whatever is wrong. It says armed with strength, and in the original language, it's he has girded himself with strength. The idea is that he takes a posture for battle, that he is prepared, and he wields his strength. He spoke, and our world, our solar system, the universe, came into being out of nothing. It's interesting to me that I've read Psalm 93 many times, and I've celebrated the Lord as the King, the Sovereign One. But I must confess that this verse and the reminder of God's sovereignty over all things means more to me these days. As the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, it's only when we face hardship that his sovereignty becomes conspicuous. It's kind of like we don't pay attention to God or grab tight to this doctrine of God's sovereignty until something big interrupts our lives. Like this microscopic virus that brings a discussion of sovereignty to center stage. We will see in this short five-verse psalm double, even triple repeats of attributes of the Lord as he wants them to become conspicuous to us. The word majesty is repeated two times in verse one. Majesty, it's a hard idea to define, but it has to do with being adorned with dignity, authority, sovereign power, grandeur, beauty. The writer is saying, hey, look out at the earthly monarchs you know about. See how they arrange everything around themselves so they would appear majestic to their subjects. But the Lord is the ultimate monarch. And as an example to drive home his point, the psalmist says, just look at the Lord's throne and compare it to all other earthly thrones. Verse 2, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. Earthly thrones, whether they are over companies or religious institutions or governments, they're temporary. They are set up and they are cast down. They don't instill trust and reliability. But the throne of God and the reign of Christ are eternal and unchangeable. Theologians call this doctrine the doctrine of immutability of God. The great theologian Arthur Pink writes this: "There was never a time when he was not. There never will come a time when he shall cease to be. God has neither evolved, grown, nor improved. All that he is today, he has ever been and will ever be." There is just great comfort in the unchanging nature of God for us today. His promises are eternal. Isaiah 54:10 just spoke to me this week as I was preparing. "The mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken." The psalmist assures us that the Lord's throne was formed before the foundation of the world, and it is to endure when all other earthly thrones have long crumbled. And even though the kingdoms of this world may not see it this way right now, the Lord's kingdom is not new. It's ancient, it's eternal, literally from everlasting to everlasting. And this doesn't just describe a throne or a rule, it describes him. His life is without a beginning and without an ending. He is eternal in a sense that no one else is. There was never a time when his term was up and he stops reigning. So if you were writing out your Heavenly Father's Day card and you wanted to answer this question from God, "Who am I and why do I matter to you?" Here's a good answer. Despite the chaos, the Lord reigns. I was thinking about God's sovereignty over all events, including my younger daughter Holly's wedding. The wedding that we were designing for the last year, it just had to be scrapped because of COVID. And a week ago, we did a COVID-19 mini backyard wedding in Roseville at her future in-law's house. The day before the wedding, Holly had asked me to just say something funny to her as I began walking her down the aisle, because she wanted to smile and laugh as she was coming down. And believe me, she's in a great place with a great young man. We couldn't be more proud and happy. So as I was walking her down the aisle as a proud dad, I passed the computer on the left and the tablet on the right that was Zooming in family from all over the country so they could watch this mini COVID wedding. The only thing I could think of to say to her that to make her laugh, this old Yiddish saying came as I walked down the aisle. I leaned in and I said to her, "You know, people make their plans and God laughs." And my daughter, this beautiful young bride who had her life interrupted, looked up at me and said, "Dad, that wasn't funny. That wasn't funny at all." And she was right. It wasn't funny. And you know, God's sovereignty is no laughing matter. Yes, it provides us security that God is in control. But even our talking about it usually means that it's accompanied by harsh realities, disruption, hardship. So no matter what is going on around us, no matter the constant changing of plans, the Lord reigns. I remember thinking, how does this psalm connect to Christ? So the other night I was doing a little research on this passage, on that subject, and I plugged in two words, clothed and majesty. I wanted to see how many verses contained the words clothed and majesty in the same verse. Well, Psalm 104:1 came up. Okay, great, kind of like Psalm 93. But only one other verse came up. It was Zechariah 6:13. And it's a prophecy about Jesus in that verse, that Zechariah reveals the vision of God, this that God had given him, that if the ancient Jews turned back to God, then their Messiah, who was both king and priest, would come to them. Let me read to you verses 12 and 13 of Zechariah 6. "Tell him," in other words, God's telling Zechariah to tell this young priest named Joseph, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. Now, verse 13. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty, and he will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. I love that. It's something to just consider that every psalm ultimately points to Jesus, the Messiah. And Zechariah expands on the psalmist's description in his vision. Clothed in majesty is a picture of Jesus, commissioned by his heavenly Father to be both the sovereign king, the descendant of David, who rules in majesty from his throne, as well as the high priest, who hears our prayers and intercedes for us, and who freely forgives us of our sins. As king and as priest, Jesus reigns at the right hand of his Father and continues to show us love and forgiveness, mercy, grace for all eternity. And even today, as we look at our post-kindergarten world, we see things that trouble us personally. Many of us are personally hurting, personally grieving, personally afraid, personally exasperated, and personally anxious about their future. The psalmist understands our feelings when he says this to us in verses 3 and 4. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Verse 4. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. The idea is that the seas make a noise that is deafening, that the sea is something to fear. And then he tells us in verse 4 that mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord is on high and mighty. Now we need to understand the ancient Jews were not sea people. They weren't sailing people. They just weren't water people. Just the thought of deep seas and crashing waves and rising water made them run for their life jackets. We see powerful pictures associated with water and fear in Scripture. In Genesis 1, God brought order to his creation by bringing order to the chaos of the oceans. But then after the fall, the waters rose again as a judgment from God, and only Noah and his family were preserved in an ark while the rest of the world was destroyed by the flood. We read about Moses, who was protected from drowning by being placed in a basket on the Nile so God could raise him up to rescue his people. We read about God parting the Red Sea and God leading them to pass through the Red Sea to escape the wrath of the Egyptians. There are times when the people of God cry out and God immediately delivers them. But then there's also times when he doesn't appear to deliver them or doesn't even appear to answer them immediately. This COVID thing seems relatable to this. The flood of a pandemic has raised up. The roar of the effects of the pandemic are loud and they bring uncertainty and fear. This thing started like a flood. It started slowly and then it spread and then it grew and then the whole world took notice. And we ran for our homes for safety. So wave after wave was announced as this flood spread across the world. And we paid attention to these reports of this rising flood for some of us by the hour. But the psalmist says clearly, if the Lord is mightier than the rising flood, he is mightier than this virus. His ways are higher. So where does our hope come from? Our hope comes from the conviction that God can triumph over the rising floods. But our hope also comes when he chooses to not deliver us immediately, but instead chooses to come alongside us as we pass through the flood. I want to read for you from Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. What a great story, bringing Jesus into this picture and how we can relate this to Jesus being that one who calms the floods and is mightier than the floods. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." After leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" So if you want to answer the question from God, "Who am I? And why do I matter to you?" You can answer God this way. Despite rising floodwaters, the Lord is mighty to save. He will not abandon us or let us perish. I love these words from Isaiah. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." Isn't that comforting? The Lord will either stop the flood or he will walk through the flood alongside us. It's his preference, his will, his sovereign choice to make. And as the floods around us make their noise, may we lift up our voices higher in praise and worship as a response to this psalm. And finally, verse 5. Let's read it together. "Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days." The Lord's statutes, the Lord's laws, they're rock solid. His word, the scriptures, offer us security. What the Lord chooses to do in this world and in our lives is always right. Then he talks about holiness. This holiness adores the house of the Lord. Literally in the Hebrew, "In your house, holiness is lovely." The idea of holiness brings in this idea of beauty. Beauty is such a strong word. It's so full of meaning. We are drawn to things of beauty. We are drawn to the Lord because of his beauty. We are drawn to a better way, a noble cause by his beauty. The beauty of God is all over creation. The beauty of God is all over his people who come together and worship and pray in his house, whether we are literally or remotely meeting together. The beauty of God is found in people who live their lives justly, honestly, mercifully, and with kindness. And when God's people live and worship in this way, holiness adorns the Lord's house. It says his statutes are good. Holiness is beautiful. So where truth and holiness prevail, evil cannot prevail. This psalm brings out God's sovereignty, his power, and all his goodness. All three should bring us hope and comfort these days. As children of God, the Lord is with us. Whatever force or of evil you face today, know this: evil will not win in the end. And this thing that is weighing heavy on you, whatever this thing is weighing on you today, it will ultimately be destroyed. It cannot endure against you. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is mighty. And the Lord is good. All three should bring us hope and comfort these days. So if you want to answer the question from God, "Who am I? and why do I matter to you? You can answer this way. Despite the forces of evil, the Lord will triumph. Lord, the Lord will triumph over all evil. There's another verse I want to share with you. Revelation 21:1. John received this revelation from God about the new hope, the new heaven and the new earth in the future. He describes it this way. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. In the perfected creation, in this new heaven and new earth, there will be no sea. No place for evil or chaos and or for floods. Everything will become ordered and beautiful and perfect. In other words, everything will be set right by his statutes and by his holiness and by his goodness. For those of you who love the sea, and I'm one who does, I just want to let you in on something in advance. There will be no sea as we know it in heaven. But there will be wonderful replacements. It was a strange experience when I waded through 52 years of life that my parents had put together. And with the COVID situation, places to donate in Colorado were full. We had so many beautiful pieces of furniture and valuable household items that we couldn't take with us or donate. We had this cookware, we had beautiful chairs and desks and sofas and luggage and great clothes, so much. And we were really stressing, you know, how could God allow all this stuff, this good stuff, to go to waste and not bless anyone? Why is all this great stuff gonna end up in a landfill? We had 2 days left to clean out the house. That was our deadline. And it just wasn't making any sense. So we prayed for God to show us what to do. And the next morning, a neighbor stopped by and told us that some Chinese missionaries were stranded in the United States. And should I be surprised at what happened next? Well, these missionaries came to the house. They couldn't return to China because of COVID, and they were needing to set up long-term housing in Colorado. And they had nothing, and they needed all kinds of stuff. So we had all these wonderful things for a house. Instead of being thrown away, they were given away for kingdom work. And one man was going through my dad's clothes, and he was my dad's size, and he grabbed my dad's suits, and then he saw my dad's ties and asked if he could take some, and I said, hey, take them all. At my church, we don't wear ties. So after they left, I just sat down and thank God for his sovereignty and for his goodness to let us in a very heavy, emotional, up and down, chaotic time that he showed himself through his sovereignty and his goodness. So if you were to write a heavenly Father's Day card answering God's question to you, who am I? And why do I matter in your life? How would you answer God from your post-kindergarten COVID-19 world that you live in right now? Would you write about the comfort of that his sovereignty brings to your life when it appears that chaos is winning? Or would you write about his mighty power to lift you and carry you through the rising floods around you? Or would you write about the hope you have because you know in the end the Lord triumphs over evil? What attribute of God is resonating with you most this morning? How about his attribute of beauty? Or his attribute of holiness? Or maybe you would write about his perfect statutes and how his word has fed you in this season. Or maybe you would write about his goodness during this time. This psalm was written to give us hope. Where do we find hope? We find it in the Lord, who reigns and is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open and share your word together. And Lord, we praise you. We give you glory. We speak back to you your attributes. We speak back to you our answers to who you are and what you mean to us. May our answers be pleasing to you. Thank you for strengthening us, for holding us up, for working in our lives and working in our world and growing us into your image. Thank you for the beauty that we see around you, even amidst this difficult time. I pray for everyone in our body, everybody who's hearing this message today, may these attributes of yours resonate in our hearts, and may they change our hearts, and may we be transformed more to look like you and act like you and think like you and be witnesses for you. Thank you for the series that we have together to share in Psalms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.